got a fever, and the only prescription is more.
This is the Cigar Authority.
It's the biggest helicopter leasing event in the Western Hemisphere since 1997.
The Authority.
Like Kobayashi.
On everything cigar.
The cigar takes time.
In.
That's the whole key.
And out of the cigar industry.
Pigeonhole!
With your host.
Hey, D-Man.
David Garofalo.
What, who are you, Julius Caesar?
Who the hell is Julius Caesar? You know I don't follow the NBA.
Mr. Jonathan.
I know who I am. I'm a dude. The dude disguised as another dude.
Barry Stein.
Doga, doga, doga.
And Chuck Morrison.
60% of the time, it works every time.
It's time to light him up.
Screw it, let's let him do it.
It's time.
That's a win-win for me.
For the Cigar Authority.
I gotta have more.
Ah! It's in the hole.
Light him up, light him up, light him up. Today is Saturday, March 5th, 2016. We're broadcasting live from the La Flor Dominicana Cigar Studios, and today, Dave is away at the Habanos Festival in Cuba, and then the TAA in Mexico, so it's the Mr. Jonathan, Tommy G, Barry Stein, and gentleman Chuck Morrison show. We're going to light up five great cigars this week, because we are going deep into the hows and the whys behind different ways to both light and then also taste your cigar. Plus, has the FDA taken up smoking? The truth will shock you.
You've never gone deep in your life.
It's not true. Welcome, everyone, to the Cigar Authority.
You're listening to the Cigar Authority, the only radio show in the U.S. and, yes, the world, that is always broadcast on location, and the only show that doesn't just allow smoking. We insist. We demand you light up along with us. Tune in at thecigarauthority.com, where you can watch live or catch the podcast on demand anytime. Simply find us on Podbean, YouTube, or iTunes, where you can set it and forget it.
That's right. You can set it and forget it. So today, we're going deep into how to light your cigars first, and then in the second hour, Barry's going to take us down the journey of tasting. And somewhere in between, Tommy G is going to teach us all about food, because he is...
No, the other F word, finances.
Yeah, he's not...
Oh, there's another F word in there. I'm sure of that.
There is another F word.
So Jonathan needs to learn about it, too, I promise you.
We want to make sure that we have all of our tools. So if you are going to try this along with us, what you're going to need is some cedar spills. You're going to need some wooden stick matches. You're going to need a soft flame lighter. And you're going to need a jet flame lighter. All cigars, when you go through the lighting process, must be cut prior to lighting. And for the simple reason that you're going to test your draw. So why don't we get our first cigar?
This is comprehensive. I mean, most people at home, I would never waste four cigars on trying to do this side by each. So I'm kind of glad we're doing this for our listeners and maybe, you know, get them to figure out which way is best for them.
On our expense.
Exactly. I mean, we're givers.
Yes.
We give. It's what we do.
What if we all disagree?
Well, that's fine. But you have to tell why.
Okay.
Why do you like this way versus that way? Mr. Jonathan, what are we doing?
All right. Well, it's time to cut our cigar, and the official cutting is brought to you by our friends at Perdomo Cigars. Perdomo is the brand that, while all other brands were raising prices, Perdomo and Perdomo alone cut out the federal S-chip tax and actually lowered them. Perdomo Cigars, they stand for quality, tradition, and excellence. So we're going to give our first cigar a little cutsy-coo here.
Cutsy-coo.
Are you going to read the Perdomo copy four times for each time we cut the cigar?
I think that might be overkill.
That was the plan, but we certainly don't have to. I got a draw. You know what? Let's cut them all because we'll make sure that we have a draw on all of them.
Oh, that's smart.
There is a video out there that recommends that you toast up your cigar and you do so before you cut it. And my argument as to why that's not the case or why you should not do that is you need to know if your cigar is drawing. And there are things you can do if you have a cigar that is not drawing. If it's in the case of this Dominican bundle, which, Barry, why don't you tell us about what we're going to be lighting up here?
All right. Today's cigar features a Sumatra wrapper, and they were originally slated to be a limited edition for an unnamed cigar company. Unfortunately, once the cigars were produced at a well-known cigar factory in the Dominican Republic, said company that produced the limited edition decided they did not want to pay their bill.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Therefore, Factory was left with cigars that Two Guys Smoke Shop and David Garofalo picked up, and they're listed on our website as Dominican bundles. They measure 5.5 by 42. They come in 20-count bundles, and they sell for $29.99.
Well, listen, we hear all these kinds of crazy stories all the time in the cigar business. Here's what I want to know. Is that really true?
Yes, and it happens more often than you realize.
Well, I know they're really shady out there. It's craziness. Yeah. It's like business ethics out the window in the cigar industry for some reason. But seriously, that's what really happens. Someone orders the cigar, say, hey, I ain't paying the bill. And they say, screw you, you ain't getting your cigars.
Exactly.
There's the story. Okay. I was just putting it in English for the rest of us.
Because I went to the Porky Pig School of Speech.
I'll take that if you want.
You said it in a nice, politically nice way. Said company and this and that. And I'm like, yeah. This one said go screw. That one didn't pay their bill.
All right.
Moving right along. Apparently I'm annoying, Mr. Jonathan. Go ahead.
Not at all. The thickest leaves are in the center of every cigar. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Lajero leaves, but whatever the thickest priming is from a combustion ratio standpoint is always going to be in the center of the cigar. When lighting a cigar, you want to consider the angle of your cigar depending on the temperature of the flame that you're going to use while you're toasting that cigar. Toasting happens around the center to create a platform for good combustion. So you're not actually going to try to light the middle of the cigar first. You're going to light the combustible edges around the outside and save the center for the end of your toasting process, especially when it comes to jet flame lighters. And the best example of this is when Native Americans that make canoes out of trees, when they hollow out the trees, beforehand, they cut the tree down using fire. They pack mud around the top of the tree. A lot of that liquid kind of gets down and makes a mess around the tree, and they set fire around the outside of the tree. You wouldn't see one of these guys with a stick rubbing his hands together with the stick pointed into the tree trying to get that tree to catch on fire. He builds his fire around the outside and allows for that combustion to set the center of the tree on fire. You follow me so
far? Great analogy.
So the same thing's going to happen with your cigar. The outer tobaccos in that bunch are the easiest to combust. Therefore, those are the ones you pay attention to. And once you hit that cigar with oxygen pulling over the flame, now you're going to shoot up to about 880 degrees Celsius, 8.8 times the boiling point of water, by the way. And that's what's going to combust those center tobaccos.
Mr. J, the science guy.
Yeah, that's right. The ember in your cigar will drop down as low as 400 degrees Celsius when you're not puffing. And as I said, it goes up as high as 880 degrees Celsius when you are puffing. And it's important for you to allow that swing in temperature, bringing it down and then bringing it back up, because when you burn very, very hot, the tobaccos that combust the easiest are going to burn the fastest. So you'll end up with what we see as a cone, right? If you allow the temperature to drop down, what you're allowing to happen is for that ember to burn through those thicker tobaccos and allow it to release the additional flavor and the additional strength.
I thought it did. We call that canoeing. I thought you're
cone.
A coning or canoeing?
Canoeing would be if it burned up one side instead of the other.
Isn't that because you didn't let your weed dry out good enough before?
Yeah, that's boating, I believe, is the word you're looking for.
I thought that was what I didn't let boating. My weed dry out. Go ahead.
The optimum temperature for lighting a handmade premium cigar is 700 degrees Celsius. This is important. 700 degrees Celsius, because not every one of the implements that we're going to use to light a cigar can achieve 700 degrees, and I'm going to show you how to pull that off. Now, as I started to mention, the angle of your cigar has a lot to do with how you light it. If you're using something with a lower temperature flame, you're going to angle your cigar at a 45-degree angle over the flame, with the part you put in the mouth higher and the part that's coming close to the flame being lower. When you have an implement that's using a flame that's higher than the optimum 700 degrees, you need to let that heat escape. So you're going to have it go the other way. You're going to have the part you put in your mouth, the head of the cigar, lower, and the foot of the cigar higher, so that you can let the excess heat escape and not trap it inside your cigar. You guys with me so far?
Can we light the freaking cigar yet?
We're gonna light the freaking cigar. So
you're worse than James May.
I don't know who that is.
Captain Slow. Let's go.
You're going to work with me on this?
Yeah, hurry up.
All right. The cedar spill will burn at roughly 300 to 400 degrees Celsius. So with a cedar spill, you're not going to go through the toasting process because it's not hot enough to hit the 700 degrees. So with a cedar spill, you're going to take that directly to the cigar. And the one thing I'm going to have everyone pay attention to today while you're lighting your cigar is the 50-yard line on your cigar, the cigar's equator. You're not going to let the flame hit below that. And this is the reason behind rolling the cigar. If your flame gets below, especially in something like a cedar spill where there's a lot of soot coming off that flame, you're going to get soot marks up your wrapper, and it's going to change how that wrapper burns. So let's go ahead and light up our cedar spill. You can use anything to get that thing going.
And a cedar spill is more or less a cedar stick.
It's a cedar stick. You find them in the cigar boxes. You know, Padron's famous for doing it.
There's also a company called Commonwealth Cedar Spills that makes them.
So we're going to get the flame going. We're going to put the cigar in our mouth, and we're going to puff it, keeping that flame above the 50-yard line.
Keeping the flame above the 50-yard line.
Blow on the end to make sure you're lit.
Achieve.
Got it.
As we set the tablecloth on fire.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, this is probably the most dangerous way to light a cigar, too.
Does well, anyone taste cedar?
The cedar doesn't want to go out all the time.
Does anyone taste cedar?
It's a little cedary.
A little bit. A
little bit.
Is it the cigar or is it the cedar?
Well, we'll find out with the next...
Who smoked the cigar before? Is the cigar cedary?
I don't remember.
I have smoked it before. It's not all that cedary.
Unbelievable. Lack of research. It's ridiculous.
So one thing that we paid attention to, I hope you guys paid attention to, was keeping the foot end of the cigar on the low side so that you could capitalize on capturing some of that extra heat. As we get into hotter flames, the angle of our cigar is going to change.
Got it.
All right. So I think we're going to move on.
Well, that's good.
There's
a lot
more cedar aroma also from lighting it with the cedar spill.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Like, which could lead you into tasting more cedar.
So here's the question, okay? I think I'm going to make a hypothesis right now.
That's a big word.
It's different than a hypotenuse. A hypothesis that we're going to determine, I believe, that we would want to light different cigars different ways.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is what I believe we're going to determine, okay? Mm-hmm. It's our job to try and figure out what's optimal and describe it.
Sure.
That's what I think.
I like that.
Given what we just did with the cedar cigar thing, with the cedar...
The spills.
Given that, when would we want to use that as a technique? Like, when would you say, oh, that's a good idea. Let me get my cedar spill.
Well, I would say it depends on what kind of cigar smoker you are and whether or not you like the taste of cedar. If you don't like the taste of cedar and your really only option is, because you got paper matches as an example, and you are a stronger cigar smoker, you're not going to change the flavor of your cigar all that much. But in this case, it's a fairly mild cigar. Yep. You have the chance to affect the flavor because it is on the milder side. So any subtle change in flavor by adding the smoky, cedary flavor from the spill, you're going to change the flavor slightly, but it'll still change the flavor.
Also, there is something elegant about lighting a cigar with a cedar spill.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So if you were at an elegant event, I would opt for the cedar spill.
Which is interesting that you're saying that, because if you're at let's say a black tie event, you got a white shirt on with your tuxedo and you have that cedar spill and there's ash spilling everywhere, I don't know how elegant that is, but...
But at a polo match with the Pelopanese, that's where I would light up with the cedar spill.
I don't know what a Pelopanese is. So if you gentlemen would indulge me and get hold of your matches, you've got a box of Davidoff matches. Today we're going to use 3-inch matches. The average cigar store match, I believe, is around 1.5 inches, which would mean that you need 3 matches on such a short match. We should be able to pull this off with a 3-inch match in one match.
It's a 3-inch match, Mr. Jonathan?
Maybe 3.5.
You feel comfortable with that in your hand, do you?
Stick with it?
I do. It's very familiar.
Yes, I thought it was.
The tough thing about this is I want to be the guy going in the gutter, but with the two of you here,
there's no question.
Now I have to be Dave. I have to play on the straight and narrow.
And you're not used to playing on the straight.
No, I'm not.
This is fun.
All right, so we've already cut our cigars. So what we're going to do, these matches have sulfur on the end. You've got to let the sulfur burn off. So when you light your cigar, you're going to hold the cigar vertical for a couple of seconds to make sure that you burn off your sulfur.
You mean the matchstick, not the cigar.
Correct.
Wow, you really are playing the role of David with the misspeaking.
All right. Now, in this case, the match is burning somewhere around the 800 degrees Celsius mark. So we're going to be able to toast this, holding our cigar at a 45-degree angle above the match, capturing the heat of the flame, being careful not to let the flame come in contact directly with the tobacco of your cigar. Once it starts to glow, we're going to get another match going. Let that burn off, and we're going to get lit. Different than how we're going to get lit later with what Tommy brought.
It's probably my lack of experience, but I'm not getting an even burn at the foot of my cigar.
On the one you just lit with your match?
Yeah, and the cedar stick as well, although that's a little bit more even and balanced on the cedar stick than the match.
I will say this, the cedar taste is much less this time through as well.
Sure, yeah.
Do you just see the matches?
No.
These are not cedar matches.
These are Davidoff matches, which would
be a neutral.
What are
they made with? The wood?
They would be made with a neutral wood like
so you don't know.
I'm thinking it's pine.
Yeah, I was thinking pine.
I don't think it's pine.
It's pretty soft.
I don't know. What do they make matches out? It seems soft.
Yeah, probably pine.
I don't know. You know what? Here's the problem with matches, guys, okay? How often is it that you're in an environment where a match is going to not have an issue with ambient wind? Even not, you know, inside. Sometimes, you know, you have places where they have forced air or fans. Yep.
Well, we have a
like
spot.
That.
We have a spot right here. If Frank were to try to use a match where he's sitting, it would be virtually impossible because coming off of the eaves of the building here, that fan bounces off right above his head and drops
right down.
They
really don't need to know all that. It's windy where frickin' Frank is, okay? There's a little wind going. Jesus! The fan with the ambient and the light and the guy. Oh my God! The match. The match is inconvenient.
But I think it's really interesting. Two different lighting methods, two different initial tastes
Absolutely.
Of the cigar.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I do. I will say this: it does taste different. That's we got to say that. So,
I'm still picking up a little cedar. I'm an inch in on the first cigar there. I'm still picking up a little bit of cedar.
Yeah.
Whereas the second cigar,
I would not have called that.
The second cigar is more along the lines of green vegetable. Dare I say, Chinese pea pod.
Well, I'm unfortunately getting a little inconsistencies in the cigar that I think is not related to the lighting process because this one's burning hotter and giving me more strength than my first one. Hmm. And I don't think it's the lighting process that did that. But I am so surprised that I'm getting hints of cedar. I'm not going to call it like
it's not a cedar bomb.
No. We're not getting tons of cedar. But am I getting a little bit of cedar from the first one? Wow, I'm surprised by that. Mm. I'm shocked. I thought I was going to be like, this is retarded. It isn't. It isn't.
It's 2016. Rudy. I'm not sure you can say that anymore.
Rudy, you got to try the cedar thing, man. You're going to love it. I love Rudy. Yes.
So if you had
right for a Canadian.
If you had a mild cigar and you wanted to alter the flavor and add some cedar to it without having to spend time cedar aging, grab yourself a cedar spill.
I don't like cedar aging. This is not like, you know when you have the cedar wrapped around your cigar?
Yeah.
What do they call that?
Cedar wrapped.
Oh, okay, cedar wrapped. When you have the cedar wrapped around your cigar, I don't like that. If those sit for a long time, there's too much cedar in that for me. As a matter of fact, I can tell you this for sure. Davidoff does not make their boxes from cedar because they do not want to impart the cedar flavor in their cigars.
Correct.
Nor do they do that in the interior of their humidors. And when I first started smoking cigars, I was all about, well, you have to have a cedar-lined humidor. It has to be cedar-lined. You make sure you have cedar. But then I realized I don't actually want everything to taste like cedar.
Well, you end up with a one-dimensional cigar collection at that point.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Mr.
There are some cigars that the cedar works with.
And so this is nice because you can say, I want to add cedar to this cigar right now, but maybe tomorrow I want to smoke the same cigar and not add cedar to it. And I don't have to impart that on my whole collection.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it.
I like it.
All right. So we're going to move on.
I'm so smart. I don't know. Go ahead and move on.
Soft flame lighters. Today we're going to use the Vertigo Governor. Retails for $19.99. This is a pipe lighter. It's got an easy adjustment wheel at the bottom. It also has a tamper because it is a pipe lighter and a poker, which in the case of a cigar smoker could double as a pick to hold the end of your cigar, especially if you're smoking something in the $30 to $40 range, like those Zenos we had on sale yesterday. Like the fifth best cigar I've ever smoked in my life.
Yeah.
The Zeno Platinum Chubby Especial.
I haven't had one in so long.
Oh, love that cigar.
Many, many years. Love I haven't had cigar. One in many years.
So this Vertigo Governor that retails for $19.99 is a soft flame pipe lighter, meaning the flame shoots out of the side of the lighter. The flame temperature on this is going to be hovering between 800 and 1,000 degrees Celsius. So if you imagine you're going to hold your cigar above that flame, you're going to be at your 700-degree optimal lighting temperature and slightly less susceptible to the wind than you are with a match. Let's face it. Once a match goes out, it's out. If a soft flame lighter goes out, you just strike the striker one more time, and you're okay. Mm-hmm. Are you with me on this, Tommy?
Yeah, I've got you.
All right. There's no need to let the sulfur burn off. This is, in fact, a better way to light your cigar. And much like using your match, you're still going to hold that cigar at a 45-degree angle to because you do want to still capture that temperature coming off. So why don't you guys go ahead and grab your soft flame lighters. And we're going to toast it up by hovering the cigar at a 45-degree angle above the hottest part of the flame, which is out near the tip.
On the outside, not the center, right? We're lighting the
correct.
Outside.
Yep. North of the Mason-Dixon line until we get it to start to smolder. And then the less amount of time that you have between your smoldering period and your lighting period, the better. And those of you watching can see that the flame jumps.
That's right.
To the cigar. And the reason for that is that the pocket of oxygen that you build up, that superheated gas that starts to mix with the tobacco as it starts to burning, is combustible. So as you're puffing, when you go to release, a little bit of that gas pops back out, and that's what ignites and helps you to ignite your center tobacco is being thicker than the rest of them.
Now, the flavor profile using this lighter is very similar to that of the matches, in my opinion. There might be a little bit more complexity on the initial puff, but both of them were more earthy than cedary.
Mine's burning hotter, faster.
Better, stronger.
No, seriously. When a cigar burns hot, right, it's stronger.
Taste-wise, I agree.
All right, so mine's burning hotter right away.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll agree with that.
Yep.
More strength.
I really thought I was going to enjoy the first 30 minutes of this show completely throwing you under the bus and making fun of your ridiculous experiment. I was so looking forward to that. But I have to say, Mr. Jonathan, once again, your captain's slowness does us a little bit of pride, and you've taught us something that's worthwhile. I'm not sure worth the 30 minutes you've given it, but it's we could have done it in 3.5.
We could have possibly, but we got a two-hour show, and I want to make sure.
Oh, let's fill in every waking minute with the lighting of your cigar. We got sandwiches, you know. You're holding up sandwiches for this.
You're keeping fat guys from their food.
That's right.
Well, we may have to take our time then. So now that we have that lit, so I've noticed I've got about an inch and a half in. This is a smaller ring gauge cigar, so it's burning a little on the quick side here. I got about an inch and a half in on the first cigar. The cedar is starting to subside. Going to the match, I got a similar flavor to the one with the lighter. So if you got matches, no big deal. You got a lighter. It's going to be a little bit better if you're in a slightly windy situation. But the best one is a jet flame lighter.
You're concluding right now, before we've done it, that this is going to be the best one.
Well, given that we have complaints about wind, yes. With respect to wind.
To wind.
Not
okay.
With flavor yet. We don't know about the flavor. Jet flame lighters burn at 1,400 degrees Celsius, and the one we're using today is the Vertigo Renegade. Retails for $14.99. It does have a flip-out bullet punch on the bottom, and it's got a mirrored finish on the cap, allowing you to be able to just about see the end of your cigar as you're lighting it.
Ah. Little mirror. That's neat.
Before cigar passionados got their hands on butane lighters or cigar lighters, they were called air butane torches because of the O in our ghost method for fixing lighters. These lighters, the air is pulled in from a different place than where the flame comes out, and that allows you to get a hotter burn on the butane. The temperature is hot enough to melt softer metals like aluminum, copper, lead, and will vaporize organic compounds. This is what I call the screen door effect. With a jet flame lighter, if you jam the end of this lighter inside that cigar, what's going to happen is the flame is going to extend past just the front.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And you're going to get deep inside the cigar, creating a soot pocket. You'll have a little flame that goes in there. There's not enough oxygen to keep that flame going. And just in the small amount of time between when you take the flame off the cigar and put it in your mouth, it goes out, and now you're dealing with the taste of formerly burnt tobacco. It'll have a little bit of an ashtray flavor to it. So in the case of a jet flame lighter, this is the time we're going to angle our cigar up with the foot pointing at a 45-degree angle north, and we're going to have our jet flame lighter at the 45-degree angle to our cigar and get it toasting up, reaching the tip north of the Mason-Dixon line, getting those outer tobaccos to combust first. This is by far the fastest way to light it because it is so hot and you want to be careful not to scorch it. Once you see a good portion of the outer tobacco starting to glow, you put it in your mouth, and that's when you hit. The centers and roll it. One thing we glossed over, the importance of rolling that cigar as you're lighting it, because you want to make sure you get an even combustion around the whole outside. If you take the time and you light your cigar properly at the beginning, it's going to burn properly throughout your cigar smoking experience.
So this is my method of choice 90% of the time, right?
Yep.
This is what I do 90% of the time. You guys?
Same
Jets?
Here.
Yep.
Jets.
All
right, here's my conclusion
Patriots.
On that. Cleanest.
100%.
Cleanest flavor up front. But here's my other perception of this, and I know this from past experience. I didn't need today, but it's good. If you don't light it properly with a jet and you try and get it too aggressive and light it too quickly, you ruin everything.
100%.
So it's so much easier to screw the whole cigar up with a jet than it is any other way.
Too many people make the mistake of having the flame engulf the foot of the cigar.
Correct.
Yeah. Where the flame just needs to kiss the foot of the cigar.
And for those of you out there poo-pooing this whole idea, actually, you're wrong. This really does screw up the whole experience or can make the whole experience good. I know this for myself. We paid great attention to it today, and I commend you on that.
Thank you.
I'm impressed by that.
I did a lot of research.
You did good. But I don't know. I guess I maybe naturally learned this over being a cigar smoker for 20 years, and you know how to light a cigar. But it does make an enormous difference. And so I notice now when I pay attention to how I light a cigar, regardless of the method I use.
Right.
However, I'll tell you this that I got from this today. There'll be more spills. What do you call these?
Cedar spills, yeah.
There'll be more cedar spills in my cigar area than there ever were before.
Hmm. Well, yeah, because you know what? Sometimes you do crave that cedary flavor. One of the cigars that I'm reminded of when it comes to cedariness, it happened to me two times. The Camacho 2007 Liberty. The barber pole one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then again in 2012. Those two cigars were just so much cedar in the cigar, and it got to the point where I could just crave it, and I knew that's exactly what I wanted. Now I know I can take a mild cigar and I can revisit that cedary flavor. The only issue that I'm having, and I'm going to have to try this again with a mild cigar, is that after about 2 inches, you lost the cedar because you can only pull that smoke really in so far.
I think it's more the aroma lingering also that adds to that.
Sense of smell is affecting the flavor.
Well, you can relight your cigar with the spill in the middle of the process, too, which reintroduce that flavor, right?
Possibly.
Will the cedar spill have any influence on a stronger cigar, whether it's medium or fuller bodied?
I think that's a great question.
I honestly don't think it's going to have as much effect if those tobaccos are more robust, but it's certainly worth experimenting with. And I'll get back to you on that.
Thank you.
Well, look, really quickly, the palate can only taste five different things. The distinction of a certain flavor is more or less picked up from the aroma.
Yeah.
So I would think the aroma of cedar would carry over regardless of the strength of the cigar.
I agree.
Because it's through the nose.
Yeah. 90% of people cannot taste garlic with no sense of smell.
Really?
Yeah, if you block their nose, they can't taste garlic.
I'm wondering which percentage I'm at.
So he's right. The smell has the hugest impact on perception of taste.
All right. I'm going to read my synopsis real quick.
Go right ahead.
Cigar smoking is supposed to be fun and relaxing. Stressing or obsessing over the right and wrong way of doing anything can steal the very soul of that activity. This segment is more than just a 101 of how to light your cigar. So if you're just starting out, stick with a jet lighter, stick with the basics, and enjoy your cigar. If you've been at this a while and you're looking for a new and fun experiment, grab a few bundle sticks like we have here and try lighting four of them differently and see if you can pick up the subtle differences created by these lighting styles. If you see someone doing it wrong, please be debonair about how you approach them. No one likes a know-it-all. Be gentle and uplifting instead of condescending. Brothers and sisters of the leaf deserve the relaxation they get from cigar smoking, even if they haven't got it all mastered yet. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well said.
I think that's right. That's a classy way to do it, is, you know, just say, hey, let's light this cigar together. And show them.
Can we hold hands when we do that?
Absolutely.
Before we go to break, you want me to go through the Duran question of the week really fast?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, it's time for the question of the week, brought to you by Duran Cigars. When the question is asked, what are you smoking? The answer should be Duran. Duran Cigars combine the best quality tobacco fillers from Nicaragua and Latin America with their super premium Habano Criollo Colorado wrapper. Experience the cigars that get smuggled into Cuba, Duran Cigars. Last week, we asked if you were making a cigar movie, where would it take place? And 59% of you said it would take place in a cigar lounge, while 24% of you said it should take place at a cigar manufacturer. But the best write-in vote was that it should take place in a brothel.
That's where they have girls, Mr. Jonathan.
And this
There's
week,
girls in lots of places, Tommy Grella.
And last week we asked a question for somebody who may or may not be making a movie regarding cigars as the focal point. But this week we ask, how do you prefer to enjoy your cigar? Do you enjoy it in solitude or do you enjoy it with friends? Mm. And the question of the week was brought to you by Duran Cigars. And as always, you can vote on thecigarauthority.com just below the Duran advertisement. When the question is asked, what are you smoking? The answer should be Duran Cigars. The cigars that get smuggled into Cuba.
Is both an option?
No, we only have it set up.
It's got to be one or the other.
Yeah, all. I mean preference.
Well, because I'll tell you this. Some of the best cigars that I've ever smoked and enjoyed the most were on long drives when I was by myself and I get a chance to do what cigar smoking is, which is become contemplative.
Yeah, yep. Baby.
So that's one side of it. But the flip side of it, on the 4th of July, my brother and I like to smoke expensive cigars and light off fireworks and have a good time, and I wouldn't give that up. So I would be hard-pressed to pick between the two. I want a both option or a write-in vote.
For me, the best is the cigar on the drive, so I'm going to vote solitude.
I think the intent of the question is to determine which you prefer more.
Yes.
I like them both evenly. I don't like to choose between
It's like
my
choosing
children.
What your favorite kid is.
Agreed.
All right, we're going to take a break on that note. When we come back, we have followed the money and know why we are at the mercy of the FDA, and that's taxes. This week, we found out that the FDA is capable of moving quicker than we ever had hoped. Plus, they are taking up smoking themselves. Barry has the story. Plus, we are getting caught up on our mailbags. We're going to return in just a few minutes, and you're listening to The Cigar Authority on the United Cigar Radio Network.
Truly Bold Cigars like a good story. It's perfectly crafted throughout, and you never want it to end.
Take it from Rob Weiss, member of Camacho's Board of the Bold and creator of the award-winning TV series Entourage. The Camacho Corojo is hand-built from authentic Corojo seeds, built for the expert palate and fine-tuned for maximum flavor impact, consistency, and quality.
Walking in, you're greeted with the aroma of friendship. You move to the humidor and reach into the Hallmark molded steel box, retrieving the only cigar worthy of such elegant protection. Your cut is meticulous, the light, easy and full. your taste buds are immediately inundated with a barrage of wood and rare spice flavors, all finished with a trademark plume of smoke. Moscow City Series from Hammer and Sickle. Live well.
It's an exquisite day here at the Jensen Estate Patio overlooking the 13th Green.
And we're underway. Jim Jensen has chosen his favorite stick.
The Diamond Crown No. 4 by J.C. Newman.
See the way he holds the cigar, Tom? Mm-hmm. Excellent balance and heft.
Ooh, he's eyeing the silky Connecticut Shade Wrapper, fermented twice for the smoothest, richest flavor.
And hand-rolled by the Fuente family with a blend of 6 to 7 distinct Dominican and Caribbean Basin tobacco leaves.
Each lovingly aged for at least 5 years. Oh, now Jensen's lighting up the Diamond Crown.
He's got a precision burn, Tom.
Those highly complex flavors with hints of dark chocolate really deliver, Bill.
Yes, like all cigars in J.C. Newman's premium Diamond Crown line.
That'd be the highly rated Maximus and the Julius Caesar.
Ah, now Jensen's settling in, rolling the rich smoke through his nose.
Look at the satisfaction on his face, Bill.
Oh, a thing of beauty, Tom.
Experience the premium Diamond Crown brand by J.C. Newman at select retailers or Diamond Crown Lounge near you. Find us on Facebook at J.C. Newman Cigar Co. or visit DiamondCrown.com.
You've heard us over and over again talking about the brands who advertise on the Cigar Authority show. Now here's your chance to try them all in samplers we call the Sponsors Deal. The Sponsors Deals are just that, deals from the cigar brands that support the Cigar Authority. To see this week's Sponsors Deal, which not only run out every week, but is always limited, just go to thecigarauthority.com and on the right-hand side, simply click the Sponsors Deal to see what this week's Sponsors Deal is. Please help the brands that help us bring you the Cigar Authority. Our friends at twoguyscigars.com will get it out for you, and you'll be getting a great deal while helping those who help us. The Sponsors Deal from the Cigar Authority sounds like a win-win-win to me.
Hi, this is Pete Johnson from Top of Hawaii Cigars, and you are listening to The Cigar Authority on the United Cigar Retailers Radio Network.
And we're back live from the La Florida Dominicana Cigar Studios, and you're listening to The Cigar Authority, a weekly broadcast almost 6 years running about cigars and the nonsense surrounding them. The FDA is a government agency that has taken up smoking, but not how it sounds. Welcome back, everyone, to The Cigar Authority. So the FDA, Barents.
Yeah, I got a mouthful of food.
Well, you know what? Let's hold off on the FDA for a second then while we consume whatever it is that we're consuming here. Tommy Grella, what can you tell us about this, this little snack that you have
for us? This wonderful creation we're holding?
So we're having cigars. Dave's in Cuba. What's the best way to celebrate all this?
Drink.
Let's have a Cubano sandwich.
Have a Cuban sandwich.
Yep, a Cubano sandwich. Now, a little history on the Cubano sandwich. As far as people can tell, the history on the sandwich is a little bit murky. There are a lot of people that think place in Little Havana called Cafe Versailles. That's V-E-R-S-A-I-L-L-E-S. Think Cafe Versailles is the originator of the sandwich, but they actually think that this sandwich was something that immigrants of Cuba or, you know, Cuban citizens enjoyed prior to that. I believe, you know, understanding food and food history, this is probably, you know, leftovers from the night before, thrown into a sandwich and sent with them out of the fields, and this is what they had. So what it is, it's roast pork that Latinos commonly refer to as pernil. That's P-E-R-N-I-L.
Hang on a second. You were breaking my balls earlier about all the research and the details and all that. Do we need the spelling lesson?
I'm a food... Whoa. It's hard to understand the word pernil, okay, because it doesn't sound like it's got an L at the end.
What it sounds like is you stopped saying a word
Who's
halfway
my friend
through?
Down in New Mexico that likes me pronouncing things right? Okay,
Peter this Hudson.
Yeah. This is for you, all right? So listen. So you roast your pork. You gotta rub your meat. I'm serious. You got to rub your meat.
Giggity.
So,
Jonathan, you got any tips for us on that?
I take what looks like a big ham. What looks like a big ham, you know, with the skin on the outside. Yep. I trim the skin off. I score the meat, and I rub it with what they call mojo. Mojo is typically sour orange juice with a lot of garlic and seasoning.
Is there such thing as a sour orange?
Yes, there is such thing as a sour orange. If you can't find sour oranges, you can use a combination of orange with lime juice. Lots of garlic, and the seasoning of choice, and I've tried to do it many ways, you got to use adobo. You got to give it to Goya here. Mm-hmm. They say what's in adobo. I've tried to recreate it with, you know, more quality spices. It just can't be done. You want it to taste like it came out of Grandma Latina's kitchen, you're going to use adobo, okay? And I roast that all night, literally 11, 12 hours, all right? So then you pull out the pork, you chop it up, you put it on the sandwich with a little bit of Dijon mustard, good sliced ham, Swiss cheese, and pickles.
Gotta have the pickles.
The key is the bread that you press it and get it crispy on the outside.
Press it with some sort of like George Foreman grill.
Yeah, you could use that.
I mean, they usually use
a flat top, not a grill with grill marks. They use a flat top. But, you know, the easiest way to do it at home is put it in a pan on medium and put another pan on top and wrap it in foil so you don't burn the outside and then press it. But, this is a good sandwich.
It is very good.
A lot of flavor.
People think a lot of times that to cook something that tastes good, that you have to be a chef and you have to go through all this process and know all these different chemicals creations, and that really isn't what it's all about. It's all about taking a couple of flavors that you like, combining them, and not being afraid to experiment. Listen, don't make a ton of it. If you got to toss it, you got to toss it. If it's gross, it's gross. But being experimenting with it, and it's the same way with cigar smoking. Don't get caught up in you only smoke your mac and cheese cigar and that's it.
Yeah,
you gotta move around. And you know what? If you got a price point and you're price conscious. If it's $5, bounce around and ask your tobacconist, you know, what other $5 cigars might I like? Certainly get your box, but there's other ones. The new one that we had on the show, La Galera.
Awesome cigar.
I mean, for $5-6?
A few people on Twitter reached out to us, Governor, that has to be a contender for Cigar of the Year.
La Galera.
La Galera.
La Galera.
I got to try this.
It really is exceptional.
I mean,
and you know what?
March,
I can't.
But it could be a contender.
I can't decide between the natural and the Maduro on that one. Which one I like better?
The Twitterverse is leaning toward the darker cigar.
Doesn't
Which means
though,
that Dave will lean toward the lighter cigar.
Yes. Well, I could try that too because I'll tell you, I tend to lean towards the light cigars too.
Yeah?
I like full-bodied, but the most elusive thing in the cigar world to me is a full-bodied cigar with a Connecticut wrapper. It's hard to do that, and not a lot of people do. Everybody who makes the medium-plus cigars are using dark wrappers in some way, whether they be Habano, Criollo, Corojo. They're all using darker wrappers.
What's fascinating to me is that you go from a guy who's clearly from New England, and then you sound like you are straight off the boat from Cuba. And then you go back to not having R's on the end of your words.
Well, up here we have a huge Latino population, mostly Dominicans and Puerto Ricans, right, and some Cubans. And I grew up right on the border of Lawrence. Lawrence is being that community. My family owned property in Lawrence, so we would collect rents. And I had friends who lived in these neighborhoods. And when you went over to their house and you sat down at their table, mommy and daddy weren't speaking English. And so that combination of that and high school, I learned how to speak Spanish.
Nice.
And it served me well. Let me tell you,
it
really has.
And you do it well.
Yeah.
So if I want to blow someone's mind in the kitchen,
yeah,
is the Cuban sandwich the way to go? Is there another dish that's real quick that you could slap together?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of those things, but I'll tell you what. This Cuban sandwich is great because for about between 12 and 14 bucks, you can pick up one of those pork roasts that we just talked about,
yep,
right? And depending on, you know, let's say the bread costs $1.50 a stick. The sticks are what, about 2 feet long?
Sure.
We did with one piece of pork, a pound and a half of ham, pound and a half of cheese, and a jar of pickles, we did six sticks of bread.
Wow.
Six sticks of bread.
That's a lot of sandwiches.
So you're going to have a Super Bowl party or the guys over for poker some night. As long as you think ahead and you put that roast in the oven the day before, the night before, right, you got an awesome sandwich, and they're wrapped up so they stay warm in the foil.
Yes, they
do. And you feed a whole crew of people for $20.
That's great.
Do you heat the ham?
No, because then you're pressing the ham warms up through the pressing process to get the cheese. Keep the cheese on the outside, whether it be the bottom or the top. I mean, everybody talks about what they prefer, but keep the cheese on the outside so that when you it's going to get closest to the heat first and melt, obviously.
I like it on top, but I hear Jonathan likes it on the bottom.
Jonathan likes to be. He's a bottom guy.
Tommy, sincerely, that was one of the best sandwiches.
Yeah, it's
a great sandwich, right?
I've ever had, honestly.
All right. It's all about the roast
pork. What was the bread?
This is from Tripoli's Bakery, which is a local bakery. We don't have the typical Cuban bread made up here.
Yeah, which is a lighter crust.
Was that like a French bread that we used? Or?
This is an Italian stick, which is similar. The Cuban bread would be more airy on the inside. The inside's almost non-existent. The outside is very thin and very crisp. Mm. And this is close, you know, close, but not perfect.
So during the last commercial break, we had our latest commercial, which is Meet the Sponsors.
Yep.
Sponsors packs change on a weekly basis.
12 o'clock on Mondays.
Deals put together for the sponsors of the Cigar Authority. Cigars that may be possibly smoked on an up-and-coming show. There's a chance for our listeners and viewers who didn't get in on the care package to be able to frequently smoke along with us and be able to try cigars that help keep funding the Cigar Authority show. So this week, starting on Monday, the Camacho Barrel-Aged Ashtray with four Camacho American Barrel-Aged cigars, mixed sizes, it includes shipping, $39.99. It's our way of helping them. It's our way of helping you. It's your way of helping us, and also your way of helping them. It's a win-win-win for everybody.
And for those listening over the weekend, you could still get in on the Avo deal, which will be there until 12 noon Monday.
All right. So, Barry, FDA.
Yes. Last week, we saw an article about the FDA looking to purchase smoking machines.
They put out an RFQ, which is a request for quote.
Okay. And these machines will be used to smoke 10 cigars at a time to measure the CO, carbon monoxide output, as well as nicotine and other chemical aspects of cigars. Which makes no sense because they're about to pass regulations and they've yet to do any testing on the cigars themselves.
It's a fair point.
It makes no sense. It's a typical case of the government doing things backwards. They might run these tests on cigars and see they're well below anything they expected it to be, and then what?
That's a good question.
Yeah. And I know you did research on the particular types of machines.
Well, they're looking for things, specific specs regarding puff intensity. My question is, how will they differentiate between smoke that's inhaled versus smoke that's not inhaled? You have really a secondhand smoke thing with cigars. It's not a firsthand smoke. You're not inhaling it into your lungs. It's the same type of machine that they use for cigarettes, but they are looking to open up the ring gauge all the way from 6.5 millimeters, which is the standard ring gauge for a cigarette tube,
right,
all the way up to 22.5 millimeters, which is between 57 and 58 ring gauge.
Right. So does that mean 60 ring gauge and bigger is going to become illegal?
That was one of the thoughts that I had. I read every single line of this, and it does look like there is some language in there where they could have adapters to open those up to bigger ring gauges, getting out to 60 and 80. A couple of interesting points is I like to look at things from the standpoint of how much money is this going to cost the American people. So they're looking for a quote. There is no threshold for the number of quotes that they get in. So if they only get one, which to my knowledge, there is only one manufacturer that makes this type of machine. They make it for cigarette testing.
Right.
So there's only going to be one quote. So whatever the price is, the price is.
Right. So it kind of makes no sense to do this RFQ.
The interesting part is they have options for extending the warranty on the machines. So it would appear as though they are attempting to save money. They want a toll-free number for placing service calls, which is very nice of them to help save the American people money, but then it goes back the other way. They want a technician to respond within no less than 72 hours on the service call during only business hours. So obviously no one's going to be working overtime there.
Do we have a way to contact the FDA, the people who are doing this?
Well, email? our chance was last year to speak up against the FDA regulations. That part's over and done with. There's option one, there's option two, which has already been submitted to the OMB, Office of Management and Budget, of the White House. Once that's done being reviewed, it goes before Congress or the Senate. And it has to go before Congress or the Senate. I forget which one. My apologies. It has to go in before the end of this current session with a 30-day window. So we're going to see these regulations no later than the end of this month, in my opinion.
My prediction is that the FDA doesn't even need this machine because of something that they put in the RFQ. So they have in line 7, the linear smoking machine must be able to smoke the following standard regimes using regulatory testing. ISO, whatever that is, Canadian Intense, that's a setting for Canadian cigarettes, Massachusetts Intense, which Massachusetts has guidelines for cigarettes, and then the interesting one is the Coresta Method number 64. That got me thinking, so I researched this company, Coresta, and their vision is to be recognized by their members and relevant external bodies as an authoritative source of publicly available, credible science and best practices related to tobacco and its derived products. They're a company that was founded in 1956, a French company ruled by French law, for the purpose to be able to promote international cooperation and scientific research relative to tobacco. Their membership when they first started in 1956 was 24. At present, they are at 150 members, made up 53% in Europe, 19% in Asia, 20% in the U.S. and Canada combined, Latin America 5%, and Africa 3%. These organizations are headquartered in 40 countries and represented in over 50 throughout their Coresta-registered subsidiaries and affiliates. Coresta organizes yearly meetings in which scientific papers are presented, as well as reports and results of studies and surveys. This company has already done all of the research that the FDA says it's going to do in the upcoming months. It's already done.
All right. And they've been around since 1956, right?
Correct.
So what's the chances that these guys have been around and were formed with, how do I say this? I'm not going to say it politely. Were formed by some measure of the tobacco companies, you know, to protect themselves. You think that's true?
I don't think that the tobacco companies in 1956 saw what was going to happen now and put together an organization. What I would believe is...
Well, back then it was more likely to happen, right? That they would protect themselves. Nowadays, they couldn't get away with that. But forming a company that's going to measure, you know, how bad tobacco and nicotine is for you in 1956, you can bet Big Mo at the time was saying, hey, guys, make sure you look at it this way. Right?
That's interesting because but at the time you didn't have big conglomerates, big tobacco conglomerates. You had essentially some mom and pop
companies.
Not saying that they didn't all get together behind the scenes and create this, but to me it looks like it was set up as a way of being able to test tobacco out of a curiosity, because in the 50s you still had things like tobacco enemas.
Tobacco
was medicine.
I'm just trying to assess one thing. Are we going to get a fair shake at this? That's what I'm trying to assess.
Probably not.
It's ridiculous. I'm not saying cigar smoking is great for you, okay? But I'm not saying it's bad for you either. I'm saying give us a fair shake. Look at it the right way. And I think, you know, Mr. Jonathan touched on one of those parts, and that is, are they going to look at the difference in how the smoke is consumed, the smoke is used? When we smoke cigars, we don't inhale. Now, I'm sure there's some tests that could say that you get, even though we don't inhale, there's some amount that goes into your lungs. I'm sure it's a residual
which
amount.
Which is a lesser amount than the cigarette smoke, who's inhaling on every
Plus,
puff.
We all know that the particles of tobacco, of pure tobacco cigar smoke are larger sized particles, right, than in cigarette smoke.
There's no filter, so.
Okay, so at any rate, I want someone to give a fair shake, not predetermine that this is another way for us to support the anti-smoking, you know, regime.
At the end of the day, I don't want Big Brother getting involved in my freedom to make a choice as an adult. This is my preference.
Right.
This is my desire. This is my hobby. Let me live my life.
I agree. Right.
Unfortunately, my grandfather in World War II fought for the freedom to make choices.
Unfortunately, too many cigar smokers waited too long to let their voice be heard. And
that's not entirely true. We're too small of a voice.
Now, there are a lot of people that truly believe this still is not going to happen.
We're 1 in 1,000. Dave talks about it all the time.
Yeah, and then 1 in 1,000 of those people even knows that the FDA is in control of cigars. The vast majority, 99% of people that walk into Two Guys Smoke Shop today have no idea that the FDA has any sort of control over cigars.
While you are correct, okay.
Therefore, they could not have voiced their opinion.
1 in 1,000 people, even if the 1 in 1,000, all of them are voicing their opinions to their local representatives, congressmen, senators, okay? There's still 1 in 1,000. The congressman and senator is going to have to err on the side of the others. And the real bogus BS here, I'm calling BS in the FDA on this one, is that they've led people to believe that secondhand smoke is absolutely horrific for you, where their actual report doesn't state anything of the kind.
There's never been a proven case of secondhand smoke.
Well, and all the studies prove that once you're over the age of 5, that there is nothing to
every
secondhand
single
smoke
law
of any
about
kind.
Smoking has to do with secondhand smoke.
Sure.
Okay, I can't open up a cigar bar because I can't potentially hire a person who then will be exposed to secondhand smoke. Well, they could work somewhere else. But what if they can only work there because they live near you? Who cares? I'm sorry, but why do they get to tell me that? It aggravates me.
I hear you. Two other points that I found interesting is that the smoking machine must be supplied with all fitting in or adapters to exhaust the smoke gases into a single exhaust port. Why that's interesting is if you have the smoke from 10 cigars all exporting into one, now you have a 10 times ratio, right,
right,
of concentration. Now, later on, to cover themselves, I think, by all the way buried down into line 12, they have the linear smoking machine must have the capability of collecting each port individually in different size bags, but at least 3, 5, and 10-liter gas bags to be able to be filled with the smoke. So they are covering themselves, but I think that line number 4 is
one would hope they would.
I wish Dave was here
10.
Because he would have an opinion on this. I think that that is a way that they can use this machine to sandbag us.
Yeah, one would hope they would take those 10 cigars, divide it by 10 to come out with the average.
Right.
But I don't think we're going to get that fair shake.
Well, this is a little bit of what's up in the cigar world, but I believe that our good friend Barry Sine has what's up in the cigar world. It's time for What's Up in the Cigar World, brought to you by Recluse Cigars. You want to know what's up? Recluse Cigars is what's up. Voted the 2015 Cigar of the Year is the Recluse Amadeus Reserva Habano. Every Recluse cigar goes through 8, count them, 8 fermentation cycles over the course of 2 full years. They are box pressed and rolled N2 bar for a perfect draw
every time.
If you haven't done it yet, be sure to try a Recluse cigar today.
All right, this week saw the arrival of the new Flor de las Antillas, which comes in a 3-pack and it features a round version of the cigar, which is different than the regular box press release, but it also comes in a tubo that's lined with cedar. Some new trademarks this week. A.J. Fernandez has filed for Bellis Artes. J.C. Newman has filed for the phrase J.C. Newman Fourth Generation Cigar Company. Nick Melillo over at Foundation Cigar Company has filed for the Tabernacle. And Crown Heads has filed for La Carême.
Are these people out of their damn minds?
Why?
Because the FDA is going to shut everything down, either from 2007 or from 2 years ago. Anything that you do right now, trademarking in tobacco, is a waste of money. Save your money to fight the FDA. Humble opinion.
Okay.
I digress.
In industry news, the sales of Cuban cigars grew 4% in 2015 and generated a revenue of $428 million. An executive of state-run cigar maker Habanos said that the growth was due to demand in markets such as Spain, Germany, and China, as well as the rise in tourism in Cuba. On a footnote, those numbers were supplied by the Cuban government. Arturo Fuente broke ground this week on a new bonded warehouse in Ybor City. The construction will likely be completed toward the end of the year. Being a bonded warehouse, the company won't have to pay customs duties until the cigars ship to retailers.
Time out. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they using J.C. Newman's giant bonded warehouse that had plenty of space when I was there?
This could be a little bit of Dave's conspiracy.
You think that, well, in Dave's conspiracy, Fuente Newman stays together and they
buy a whole bunch of people, so they're going to need a larger warehouse.
All right. Oh. Now I'm with you. All right. Now I'm with. I thought it was sort of a sign that maybe the two companies were separating, but look at you, Barry Sine.
Davidoff announced the forthcoming release of 2 limited edition cigars, the Davidoff Limited Art Edition, which will be at all flagship stores, and the Indy 500, which is limited to 1 cigar shop in Indianapolis. that will be released in time for the 100th running of the famous race. In TAA news, Nat Sherman announced they are adding three new sizes to the Pan America line, and Drew Estate announced the Herrera Esteli TAA. Details on both releases could be found on thecigarauthority.com. In other Nat Sherman news, the company has added secondary bands to the Timeless collection. The additional bands will make it easier to tell the difference between the Dominican and Nicaraguan blends. Foundry Cigars, which is part of General Cigar, has hired outside sales reps for the first time. The cigars will be represented separate from General Cigars. Lastly, Calibri has hired a new U.S. VP of Sales and a newly formed national sales team to service the company's wide network of cigar and tobacco retailers as well as wholesale distributors.
No more Less Man?
No, it's I forgot the guy's name, but it is No More Less Man.
Oh, I like Less Man.
And that's this week's Cigar News.
What's up? In the Cigar World was brought to you by Recluse Cigars. The Recluse Amadeus Habano Reserva uses Grade A Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a San Andreas binder, a Dominican Lajero Seco, and Pennsylvanian Broadleaf Filler tobaccos, which create a blend we call the Cigar of the Year. Recluse Cigars is What's Up? And we're going to take a break. When we come back, you have lit a cigar that you lit the correct way, and it's burning perfect, but all you ever taste is just smoke. Barry's going to attempt to unlock your mind so that you can taste what he tastes without having to lick his tongue. We'll find out what's up. We just found out what's up in the cigar world. We're live from Two Guys Smoke Shop, and you're listening to The Cigar Authority on the United Cigar Radio Network.
And Mr. Jonathan, remember, while you're smoking your four, count them four,
Dominican bundles.
With Cedar Spill, Wooden Match, Soft Lighter, or Flame Lighter. Always remember, Jet Lighter, keep the lid end out of your mouth.
That's right.
I finally found a cigar magazine that I like. No, love. It's called Cigar Journal. What's so great about Cigar Journal is that it's all about cigars and none of the nonsense that you see in other magazines. It has stories, reviews, and the latest news about premium cigars. You're going to be impressed. Cigar Journal has beautiful images, great editorials, and it's strictly for the cigar enthusiast or, get this, passionado. Cigar Journal covers cigars in the U.S. and around the world and is printed right here in the USA. Cigar Journal, available at your local cigar retailer and on the web at www.cigarjournal.co. That's cigarjournal.co.
Savor this moment. The sparks of conversation. The anticipation of that first draw. Savor the story shared over a cigar like this. A cigar that makes this moment classic. The Avo Classic. Savor a composition of handcrafted Dominican leaf, graced with notes of 25-year-old tobacco. Richly complex, yet remarkably smooth. Savor a harmony of creamy, balanced flavors. A duet of two cigar virtuosos, jazz and cigar legend Avo Uvazian and master blender Hendrik Kellner. A cigar meant to be shared with friends old and new. The Avo Classic. Savor every note. Visit your local tobacconist or see the complete Avo line at avo.com.
Founded in 1989 by Mariana and Nestor Miranda, Miami Cigar and Company proudly celebrates their 25th anniversary with the release of their flagship brand, the Nestor Miranda Collection. Made in Esteli, Nicaragua by Don Pepin Garcia, the collection is available in three distinct wrappers, aimed to please even the toughest critic. Nestor Miranda Collection. You only get one life. How will you live yours?
In 2013, Boutique Blend Cigars released Aging Room Quattro, which was the number one cigar in the USA that year, according to Cigar Aficionado. Now, Rafael Nodel, the man behind the Aging Room small batches, has released La Boheme. La Boheme is a line that unites Rafael's three most important passions in life. music, Cuba, and cigars. But perhaps the most unique part of creating La Bohème is the way in which Rafael blended this masterpiece. As a Cuban immigrant who came to the USA in a little boat when he was only 15 years old, Rafael had many memories of his native Cuba, but none as strong as the aroma of the Cuban cigars his grandfather used to smoke every day in that little park next to his house. Rafael blended countless combinations of different tobaccos and had other people smoke them. He would sit back and savor the aromas until one particular blend finally matched his memories. The same aroma of those Cuban cigars his grandfather smoked. La Bohème, a Dominican cigar with a Cuban soul.
This.
The crowd is standing on his feet here at Augusta.
Is the Cigar Authority.
Where are your badges?
The Authority.
We ain't got no badges.
On everything cigar.
I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
With your host.
Ho, ho, slow down there, Speed Racer.
David Garofalo.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Mr. Jonathan.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Barry Stein.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
Don't.
And Chuck Morrison.
I went to magic camp. I'm an accomplished ventriloquist. Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master.
It's time to light him up.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
It's time.
I would rather you just said thank you.
For the Cigar Authority.
Yeah!
Yeah, baby. We're back with hour number two, broadcasting live from the La Flor Dominicana Cigar Studios. And once our cigar is lit properly, we will surely be able to taste more subtlety, right? Barry has the information, along with gentleman Chuck Morrison, standing by. And I've got a good one from the asylum, I have to say. Plus, we are stuffing our faces with Tommy Grella. Oh, Tommy Grella's Cuban sandwiches. Welcome back, everyone, to the Cigar Authority.
I think it's more like stuffed faces, past tense. It was really good.
I've stuffed your face with my
You're
meat.
Listening to this.
Barry, I know you're
You're listening to the Cigar Authority, the only cigar show in the U.S., and yes, the world, that is always broadcast on location. And the only show that doesn't just allow smoking, we insist. We demand you light up along with us. Tune in at thecigarauthority.com, where you can watch us live or catch the podcast on demand at any time. Simply find us on YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, where you could set it and forget it.
Barry, I know you're on a diet and you really kind of cheated on that sandwich a little bit, but I brought you something that'll help you get back. Your very own broccoli.
A head of broccoli.
Listen, he's blowing...
See, I like the broccoli. I'm like, Jonathan.
I love broccoli. Steam that up.
He's blowing smoke somewhere else because he was at my restaurant last night throwing down scallops and filet and lobster like it was his freaking job.
It was my birthday. You got to go off your diet on your birthday. I carried it into the next day with Cuban sandwiches.
Two appetizers, a bottle of wine, an entree.
It was a Grella-sized
entree.
People,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I Grella-sized it up for him. Yeah, and he has dessert and everything. Heidi was looking good, though. Let me tell you.
Hey!
Yeah, she had a little bit of his meat.
Oh, jeez.
Tommy slipped me the meat between the tail. So.
I did. I slipped him the meat between the tail.
Now I see why Dave has the look on his face for 90% of the things that I say.
All I know is right now he's on the plane listening and his face is beat red.
Yeah, he's not liking this. Sorry, Dave. I did the best I could. You're the one who invited Tommy back. I'm just saying. All right. So, Barry, we're going to light up the Julius Caesar. And I do appreciate that you indulged me on this. For the folks watching at home, I begged and pleaded for the Perfecto size. So if you didn't get the Perfecto size in your care package, I very much apologize. But this is my size. I like this one.
Yeah.
So
I believe we did the Perfecto in one of the earlier care packages. But the Julius Caesar is the JC in the JC Newman Cigar Company, the pioneer and founder of the JC Newman Cigar Company. Born in 1875 in a small Hungarian village, J.C. and his family sailed across the Atlantic in 1888 in search of the American dream. To celebrate J.C.'s 135th birthday, they created a third diamond crown that honors J.C., whose likeness appears on the cigar label. Diamond Crown Julius Caesar cigars are meticulously rolled in small batches at the Toro Fuente factory in the Dominican Republic, especially flavorful Ecuadorian Havana seed wrappers combined with a smooth, robust blend of fine Central American tobaccos that are carefully aged. The cigar retails for $11.69 to $18.39, depending on the size.
For the record, boys, this is in my top five all-time cigars.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
That's very good.
And this exact size, too, Mr. Jonathan. Great call.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's time to cut our cigars, and the official cutting is brought to you by Perdomo Cigars. Perdomo is the brand that, while all other brands were raising prices, Perdomo cut out the federal S-chip tax and actually lowered them. Perdomo Cigars, they stand for quality, tradition, and excellence.
Now, Jonathan, on a roll such as this, it kind of has that torpedoed...
That's right, torpedo.
Yeah, the torpedo.
Torpedo
end.
Or perfecto, yeah.
Where is the ideal cutting spot?
That's a great question.
You look at the shoulders of the cigar, so where the cigar breaks and just about starts to come down flat and becomes a cylinder. So anywhere from where that break happens all the way up to the tip, the smaller that you cut it or the higher up on the cigar that you cut it, the more intense the flavor is going to be because you're going to channel all that smoke down. But what we found out a couple of weeks ago is that you will not slow the burn down
right.
by channeling that smoke down. All you'll do is intensify the flavors.
So it's okay to go a quarter of an inch deep on this.
Quarter of an inch deep. You can open it up.
Just a tip.
And because you're using your own cutter, you could take a little pull on your cigar if you need to cut more. Now, let's say you don't have your cutter and you're borrowing your friend's cutter. You can still check your draw without slobbering on your friend's cutter. You flip the cigar around. And without wetting your lips, use just the dry part of your lips and take a puff. And you can check your draw.
Yeah.
Now, if you ended up on a perfecto cut, if you ended up cutting a little bit too little off, your draw is going to be more affected from the foot end than it would be from here.
Right.
So you could, let's say you like a little bit more of an intense smoke, you want to be looking for...
A looser draw?
You'd be looking for a slightly tighter draw because it's going to loosen up when you flip the cigar around.
Right, because you're doing it reversed.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a couple of options here for lighting. We have the Vertigo Governor for $19.99, but what I discovered when we lit the last time was that the best taste experience out of the four was the Jet Flame lighter. Am I wrong here, boys?
You are 100% correct.
So we're going to light up with the Quad Jet Vertigo Renegade, retailing for $14.99. You save yourself $5. You get three extra jets and a flip-out bullet punch. How can you go wrong?
That's a great
and the
price.
Mirrored, the mirrored
and
cap.
You get the mirrored cap. So again, we've got a jet flame lighter. So we're going to hold our flame at a 45-degree angle to the cigar, angling the cigar just slightly up in this case so that the excess heat escapes. We're aiming above the Mason-Dixon line and catching fire all of the combustible parts of the cigar and letting alone the center point, which in this cigar probably is a quarter of a leaf of Ligero.
So, Mr. Jonathan, each week on the Cigar Authority, our listeners hear us discuss the flavors from our cigars. And one of the top questions asked, other than are you on drugs, is how the hell do you taste those flavors? Well, those who asked, you are not alone, as throughout my blogging career, many have stopped to ask me the same question, cigar tasting, how is it done?
How is it done, Barry?
Well, one of the most important things when learning to taste subtle nuances of a cigar is to take part in the pre-light ritual. This will help open the senses to the enjoyment that is about to come your way. At times, it is easier to get the notes before the cigar is lit. The first step is to cut the cap, which we have already done, and your choice of cut, be it bullet, V-cut, or guillotine. Once the cap is removed from the cigar, you want to smell the foot of the cigar and decipher what you are picking up. After that is done, you want to take a pull on the cigar. The reason why I say smell first is you can identify much more through smell rather than taste, which is limited to bitter, sour, salty, and sweet. The aroma is...
And umami.
That's right.
Yep. Yep.
The aroma is key to the romanticism of certain flavors.
And by romanticism, and this is something that I believe when I'm tasting things, and I don't know if you guys differ from this, but I like to use my imagination. While I'm tasting a cigar and I get past the smoke, they all taste like smoke. So your first flavor, it's just smoke. You've got to let that go. A few seconds after the smoke is gone, a little bit of... and you can start to get something that's familiar.
Which
and
we get into.
Are you going further?
Much further.
Sorry.
In order to properly taste the subtle nuances of a cigar, you don't want the cigar to burn hot. Many people make the mistake of over-smoking a cigar. You can avoid this by limiting yourself to 2 to 3 pulls per minute. Any more, you risk muting the flavors with a hot burn.
Really?
Once you pull the cigar with the smoke in your mouth, you should begin to taste what the cigar has to offer. But if you don't, fret not, my friends. There are some tricks you can do to expedite this process.
Nothing, Tommy? Fret not? You're just letting that go by.
fret not, my friend.
With the smoke,
we didn't mean to interrupt, William.
Hey, at least I'm not reading this like freaking Porky Pig. With the smoke in your mouth, gently chew the smoke. This will allow your mind and the receptors on your tongue to work together, much like dining on a great meal at Prelude Restaurant. Uh-huh. When you release the smoke, blow it out slowly and gently, thus allowing the smoke to wash over the palate, giving you more time to taste what the cigar is serving. If you aren't getting a specific taste, pay attention to what part of the tongue is reacting to the cigar. If you feel it on the tip of your tongue, that's associated with sweet.
Right now, my gag reflex is being affected.
While the left and right is salty, I'm just going to ignore you and keep going. Moving further back along the sides is sour, and the back of the mouth is associated with bitter. The retrohale serves a purpose other than causing our own Mr. Jonathan to cough. While the palate can only differentiate between a few types of flavors, the nose is much more sensitive. The art of retrohaling is difficult to master and does not involve inhaling the cigar. With this smoke in your mouth, let it drift toward the back and breathe through the nose, pushing the smoke out. When you first begin to do this, it is most likely only to create a pepper-like experience. But as you grow accustomed to it, it will help identify the flavors. Manufacturers and blenders state, if you do not retrohale, you are not getting the full experience of the blend.
Yep.
A retrohale can turn a sweet cigar into a cigar with robust chocolate notes and even the subtle sweetness of Chinese pea pods.
That was his little throw.
Chinese pea pod.
His little throw to me right there.
What'd you get there? I got a little Chinese pea pod. What'd you get?
Sometimes we will refer to the cigar as having undertones or overtones of nuts complementing the chocolate. This is a result of the flavor that is left after the smoke has left your mouth.
This is what I'm talking about right here.
A short finish means the flavors stop relatively fast, while a long finish means the flavors and characteristics of a cigar linger after the cigar or puff is finished. The debate is out there as to which is better. Personally, I enjoy a short to moderate finish because I want to move on to the next cigar, while others prefer the long finish so they can enjoy the moment for a prolonged period of time.
Now, I like long finishes for some things, and I like short finishes for other, and I'll just leave it at that.
You have no idea what you're talking about. We had to explain what a brothel was to you earlier. That's a long finish, Jonathan, okay?
One of the most important things when you were done with your cigar is it important just to lay it down in the ashtray, let it go out on its own. Do not smash it out, as the aroma released from the ashtray will hurt the experience of other cigar smokers who are trying to get the nuances that their cigar has to offer.
Not to mention, when you stub out a cigar, it will continue to burn for
way longer.
15, 20 minutes because you've got oxygen in there. When you set it down, that ember goes from 880, slowly gets down to 400, and then in the absence of more oxygen, this ash encapsulates it, and eventually it has no oxygen whatsoever and will completely die out.
Yes.
All on its own.
I get this all the time at the restaurant, okay? I don't have a palate like you. I don't know wine like you. I don't drink beer all the time. I don't know it like you. And I say to all of you, poo-poo, you are incorrect. We all have the same ability when it comes to tasting. What we've become good at is tasting cigars, and we become good at remembering what other things taste like. Now, how can I prove my point right now on the radio without being in front of you? I can. And I'm going to use something, not because I love it, but I'm going to use something because we all know it. Let's use the Big Mac.
I've never in my life eaten a Big Mac, but you
guys
go ahead.
You're out of the conversation just like usual.
I have had a hamburger before.
Okay, we're going to use a Big Mac, okay? Almost everybody knows what a Big Mac tastes like. Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Right? We got that? Imagine that your Big Mac is served to you without special sauce and some idiot puts ketchup on it.
Ah.
Someone who didn't go to the McDonald's School of Training. As soon as you take the bite of that Big Mac, are you going to know?
Yes.
Without question. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter which one of those things we screw up. I guarantee you're going to notice a difference because you're used to what that Big Mac's supposed to taste like.
Well, if the next time I had a Cuban sandwich, it didn't have the pickles, I would know something was missing. Is that what you're talking about?
Mr. Jonathan, as much as you drive me nuts, as I say all the time, your palate really is very, very good.
Thank you, Tommy G.
You recollect, and I do believe that you're right about this. You said your imagination helps you get there, and I really do believe that's the case.
Well, it is, because you do know, if I said to you, okay, let's all take a mental journey through Thanksgiving. What does turkey taste like? Turkey itself doesn't taste like anything. It's a lot like garlic. Turkey smells like something while you're chewing it, right? Everybody that's listening right now, there we go. I got turkey. Mashed potatoes are more about, they're more about the texture and how you feel after you eat the mashed potatoes. You feel all warm and fuzzy unless you have something in it. You got sour cream in it. You're going to have a little tang. You got a little chive in it.
Yeah, a little
right?
garlic. Yeah.
So mashed potatoes are just nice texture to have. That's what that's about. So if you're smoking something and the smoke has a texture, I've never said mashed potatoes before, but I'm going to have to see if I have a cigar that has a mashed potato thing going on. But if a cigar smoke had a texture to it, mashed potato would be a good example because it's not about the flavor of potato. Mm. It's about the texture, right?
Yeah. So I will contend to you that we all have this ability. You guys just aren't brushed up on that as much. But I'll tell you what you are brushed up on. We all have that favorite cigar. Right?
Absolutely.
We all have that favorite. Yep. Or two or three, whatever it is. You know what that one tastes like.
Maybe
you don't say, oh, I can taste mashed potato like idiot boy over here. But you say something. Ooh, I like that cigar. What do you like about it? I have a friend, Guile. Guile always says toasty. Oh, it's toasty. I don't know what the heck toasty means. But he knows what it means, and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Okay? We don't care what... Don't care what other people use for words, especially when you read these ridiculous magazines. I taste hints of pencil lead and aged leather. What? I've never eaten leather or pencil lead in my life.
I have chewed on my belt before.
I can smell it. Okay, chewed pencil. I know what a chewed pencil tastes like. But just use familiar things that you know. One of the wine tasters once said, I get in a little Twizzlers with this. Mm. And there were wine snobs that made fun of them. And I was like, no, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, if you like Twizzlers, you know exactly which wine to get next time. If you like Twizzlers.
All right. I'm not even going there. But I'm gonna add Skittles? One more thing to it, okay?
Skittles?
A cigar.
You're all about the rainbow, Jonathan.
Yeah, he is all about the rainbow and the upside down triangle. So, and it's not because.
Here's Johnny.
We need the bell.
It's not because he likes Dark Side of the Moon either. But seriously, I'm gonna. This is the last thing I'm gonna say. This is important. All right. We all know what goes well with it. Okay. Now everybody says, "Oh, I can't tell you what wine goes well with that meal, or what cigar I should follow that up with." Yes, you can. Remember the first time you had Oreos and milk? How freaking good is that? It's fantastic.
It is good.
We all loved it. How about the first time you tried to drink a coffee or an orange juice after you brushed your teeth?
Not good.
Oh, it's terrible, right? it's terrible. Good. So what you eat or drink before or early that day is going to affect the way the taste of that cigar tastes, that scotch tastes at the end of the night, that beer tastes. And I would tell you, we all have that ability. We all know what's good. All right? So trust yourself. Play with it.
So
play with your junk.
With that said, Mr. Grella, what flavors are you getting on this Julius Caesar?
I'm getting tons of pepper up front. And to Jonathan's point where he said texture, I'm saying that pepper is adding texture to this smoke.
Yeah. It's a peppery, pulverized walnut shell.
There you go.
Got the walnuts,
yeah,
100%.
Walnut, sure. Yeah.
But also got a little bit of marshmallow.
Yeah. I got that. Toasted marshmallow, a little bit.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And this is specifically pepper. When you bite the peppercorn, that sensation that happens in the nose when you bite the peppercorn.
Absolutely. And, you know, walnuts, when you eat a walnut, don't think about when you eat your first bite, like what your mouth tastes like 30 seconds after you're done chewing the walnut.
Or like when your dad's sandblasting using pulverized walnut shells and that cloud of smoke is around and that's what you...
Your dad sandblasts walnut shells around you?
That's what you do with delicate things.
That explains
a listen,
lot.
While you're enjoying life to its fullest, it is important to be debonair. And how to be more debonair is Gentleman Chuck Morrison.
Do you need a gentleman?
Gentleman. I'm a gentleman. You need a gentleman? You wouldn't want to call me gentleman.
Ladies, fasten your seatbelts. Switch on your electronic devices.
You need a gentleman?
And this is The Gentleman's Way. It's brought to you by Debonair Cigars and Rum. Debonair Cigars provide its clients with...
Wait for it.
Suspension of reality. Time spent smoking a debonair can never be subtracted from one's life. Today, gentlemen, the debonair way to handling someone who's messing up their cigar. Here's the scenario. You witness a fellow BOTL, that's brother of the leaf, cutting their cigar, and cutting well above the shoulder, let's say a good inch into the cigar. Sure enough, his cigar begins to unravel as he's smoking it, and sure enough, he blames the deconstruction on the cigar itself and not himself. You, being debonair, cannot let this go unnoticed, but also must bring to his attention without offending him that he improperly cut the cigar. Question is, how do you do this in a debonair manner?
How do you do that?
Honestly, honesty is the best policy. Kindly demonstrate that the unraveling is to their fault, but here's how you do it. It's through demonstration. So you grab a cigar yourself. You show exactly where to cut, slightly above
the cap. Yeah.
The cap, yep. Highlighting where that cap is and showing him the proper way to do it. Now, again, this is not insulting. You're doing it through a demonstration method, letting him know that he will never, again, experience a cigar unraveling at his fault.
Correct. Yeah, right? The only thing holding that cigar together is the cap itself.
That's it. That's it. So you're doing it in a manner where it's through demonstration, where you're not offending him. You're showing him the right way. And in that same breath, you're showing him that you're not only saving his hard-earned time and money, but also his aggravation as well. That's the gentleman's way. It's brought to you by Debonair Cigars and Rum. Guys, the question every single time, are you debonair enough?
And if you're ever unsure on how to cut a cigar, the easiest way to do it is to open up a cutter, take this cigar with the cutter sitting on a table, put the cigar in the cutter, clip. The right amount will be exposed with the cutter sitting flat on a table, and you will have the perfect cut.
The only thing is, if you have a counter where people are putting money on it all day long,
well, you cut,
it's a little bit of a filthy thing. But
you're cutting off the part that's touching the counter.
You know what? You have a point there, Barry.
Yeah.
I digress. Nice. All right, we're going to take a break. Our cigars are lit, and they taste better than ever. And when we come back, we're going to take a peek into the asylum and take a look at our calendar. We'll let you in on some up-and-coming cigars we'll be smoking on the show so that you can smoke along with us. And I'm going to pit Tommy G against Barry in a classic day in history, Battle of the Ages. We're live from Two Guys Smoke Shop with Tommy Grella and Julius Caesar, and you're listening to The Cigar Authority on the United Cigar Radio Network.
When you light a Davidoff cigar, you set aglow the richest tradition of cigar making in the world. You release craftsmanship achieved by our investment in that most precious of commodities, time. The time it takes to create a Davidoff cigar as it passes through 600 hands before it arrives in yours. The time it takes to age and mature the tobacco which fills a Davidoff cigar, sometimes as much as 10 years. The time it takes to hand pick, hand roll, and then carefully hand-check each individual cigar before it is fit to wear the legendary Davidoff white band. In every second of enjoyment, there are decades of experience. In every way, it is time beautifully filled.
Jose Dominguez, Jose Dominguez, Jose, Jose, Jose Dominguez.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm writing a commercial for Jose Dominguez.
Well, what you should be doing is talking about how good they are. That Jose Dominguez makes millions of cigars for other people, but saves the best tobaccos and the best blend for his namesake, Jose Dominguez. Not singing a song, if that's what you think you're doing.
What I am doing is creating what is known as a donut.
Hey, nobody's going to take away your donuts.
No, a donut in a commercial is when it starts with a jingle and then the information comes in and then ends with the song again. The information is the filling of the donut.
Why does everything you talk about have to center around food and usually donuts?
I don't know.
Listen, Jose Dominguez cigars come in four great sizes and two wrappers. The mild, buttery, smooth, natural, and the slightly bolder Maduro. And every cigar is about $5. You know as well as I do, Dave, Jose Dominguez is no $5 cigar. It's worth so much more. It's a sensational value.
Okay, here's the end of the donut. You ready?
Jose Dominguez. Jose Dominguez. Jose Dominguez.
In 1848... in honor of the English poet Lord Byron, a cigar brand named Byron was first created. Through three centuries, Byron has gone through many hands, but today it is back with the family that first created them. Returning to the early days, now the brand, in a very limited quantity, is produced in a small factory in Costa Rica. Nelson Alfonso offers three Byron blends honoring all three centuries of Byron. Siglo 19, Siglo 20, and Siglo 21. Other cigars sit in an aging room for 60 days, but every Byron cigar sits in an aging room for a period of at least one full year, then and only then, into ultra-luxurious porcelain jars and state-of-the-art cigar humitubes packaging. Sure, Byron's packaging is unique and costly to produce, but nothing else will do for a cigar of this quality and taste. Byron Cigars. Cigars of poetry. Sophisticated. Byron.
It was 2010 on my 50th birthday. Nick Perdomo from Perdomo Cigars showed up in my office and honored me with a gift. It was a box of cigars. But this box of cigars was not what I expected. One I never saw before. Something without the Perdomo name on it. It was my name, Garofalo. Garofalo Cigars has my name on it, but it was blended and created by Perdomo as a gift of a brand of cigars. So what should you expect from a Garofalo cigar? Rich layers of complex flavors, but offered in a mild to medium body profile. A blend comprised of fine Cuban seed Nicaraguan tobaccos, including a triple fermented, 5-year-aged Connecticut shade wrapper. I'm honored to have Garofalo, my name, surrounding such a wonderful cigar. I would be honored if you would give a Garofalo cigar a try. Garofalo Cigars, an honor.
Got Jason Wood from Miami Cigar and Company, and you're listening to the Cigar Authority on the United Cigar Radio Network.
And we're back live from the La Flor Dominicana Cigar Studios, smoking Julius Caesar, and it's time to look through the calendar to see what craziness is coming up. Welcome back, everyone, to the Cigar Authority. Well, right now we're dealing, we got March 5th here. Dave is in Cuba, and he's on his way to the TAA. This is going to be affectionately referred to as the No Dave Show.
I honestly thought we were going to crash and burn, and I'm happy to see that we haven't.
Yet.
But
yeah.
Still, think
we
but there's still
time. We still have time.
There's still time.
Tommy G is in his house. We're not going to crash and burn.
Next week, we have Dave's return from Cuba and the TAA. He's going to tell us all about everything that he saw. March 5th through the 20th, we've got Ashketball here in our Two Guys Smoke Shop locations.
Will you be competing?
I compete every year, although I can't win the trophy. But let's just say that there's only been one person to ever beat me at a game of Ashketball. and his name is Eric Wentworth.
I think it's the 15th through the 20th. You said the 5th through the
20th. I'm sorry, the 15th through the 20th. You are correct. 15th through the 20th. We'll be smoking the Dos Hombres Candela, which is in the care package. March 19th is Avo's 90th birthday show. And that Tuesday prior, he turns 90. We'll be smoking Avo and El Baton. March 26th, we got Rocky Patel Edge Light. That's the eve of Easter. We're going to go all the way up to, this is Dave's favorite one, so I want to make sure that I mention it. This is the Winner Winner Chicken Cigar Dinner. We got this event coming up Wednesday, April 27th, 2016, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's a chicken poop party at Two Guys Smoke Shop Salem. The evening includes chicken dinner, two Asylum cigars, and a chance to have a chicken poop on your selected numbered square as the chicken will roam around a fenced-in area eating food. And within 20 minutes of a chicken eating, everybody knows that's a farmer, that it begins to poop. So if it poops on your number, you win a box of Asylum cigars. We'll have official judges in the event of a tie. A little bit of poop lands on two numbers.
What happens to the chicken? Do we have an owner for the chicken yet?
My plan is to return the chicken and just be like, you rented the chicken.
They already said they wouldn't take it back.
I'll gladly take said chicken. Absolutely.
All right. Will you choke the chicken?
I will not choke the chicken.
We did that joke last week, Barry. That one has to go.
It's all right. It's the one that keeps on giving.
I know mine sure does.
And fast forwarding to September 17th.
Yes.
September 17th. You're picking out the rings this week.
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow to get the wedding rings.
Nice.
Because the jeweler that we went to for the engagement ring is having a huge wedding ring sale.
Wow.
So even though it's a little early, if we could save 20%, why not?
20%?
Do I get my chance with Heidi before we tie the knot?
All I can say is last night, your food made her moan more than I've ever heard her moan before.
Whoa. All right, watch it there, Barry Stein. Watch it there.
Yeah, I mean, I was close. I was close. She was loving me.
She likes big meat.
So if we could just get to the show for a second.
Hi, Heidi.
Tommy G., you brought us, to go along with our Cuban sandwiches, you brought us this beer. And I have to say, I am not a beer guy. This is pretty good.
This is a great beer, isn't it?
And I'm telling you, I'm not a beer guy. I just don't drink beer. I never really cared for it. I'm enjoying this. What is this?
So let me tell you a quick story. So this is BBC, Berkshire Brewing Company.
I thought it stood for something else.
They are a local company. They're out of South Deerfield, Massachusetts, which is north of Springfield, Massachusetts, kind of in the center of the state.
Yep.
And here's the story. When I was in my early 20s, a guy who owns a high-end beer store, and at the time that was, you know, good beer was just kind of making its way. Mm. You know, people were getting off of Sam Adams, and Harpoon was just coming out. And this guy introduces me to these beers. BBC Traditional Ale was what it was called at the time. And it only came in a big bottle. We call them bombers, a 22-ounce bottle. And he introduced me to this beer, and I was like, oh, my God, I think I like good beer. And I said, gee, someday if I ever own a restaurant, I'm going to make sure I carry this beer. Well, lo and behold, I opened Prelude 4.5 years ago, and the only craft beer that has retained on my menu for the entire time is BBC.
Wow.
I've always loved their beers. I've always kept them, and we've done exceptionally well with them. And part of the reason for that is BBC is a great way for you to get into craft beers. Okay, and this is an example of it. This is a Scotch ale, meaning it's brewed the way ales were brewed in Scotland, you know. Hundreds of years ago, right. And it's a very malty beer, which means it's kind of sweet up front.
It
doesn't have that bitterness. It's not a strong bitterness. Like IPAs, which means India Pale Ale, which is all the rage right now.
Love them.
They're very bitter.
And hoppy, too, right?
So hops provides both bitterness and a floral smell. It actually smells like good weed. That's what hops or citrusy.
Maybe that's
good,
what hops
good
smell
good
like,
weed.
But they taste to me.
It's true.
When something is very hoppy, it tastes like it's soapy dishpan water.
Okay, so hops can taste either piney or citrusy,
or dishpan watery.
And how you add hops, the way you add hops, what kind of hops you add, all changes the beer. Okay, and we don't need to get into all that stuff, but what one of the things BBC does is they don't use the pellet hops, which has typically a stronger bitter flavor. They only use the floral hops. It's all they use.
Mm.
And, you know, I guess as a cook, I would say, you know, I wouldn't always use one thing. But for their beers, again, it helps make great entry-level craft beer. So if you're out there and you're not yet a craft beer guy, but you think you want to be, and you're smoking the Perdomo craft beer, craft series cigars you want to try, right?
Yeah.
They make a beer called Steel Rail Pale Ale. And this is what Pinot Noir is to wine. This is to craft beer.
Is that an IPA? Is it an Indian pale ale?
It's a straight pale ale. It's a straight pale ale. And it is light in color, amber, not very bitter, has a great nose, it smells floral. It's a very easy to drink beer. So when people come into our restaurant and I, you know, make fun of them for ordering a Chick Light or Chick Ultra, and then I say, here, try the Steel Rail. We say the same thing in Prelude every time. We say, if you don't like it, you don't have to drink it. I'll take it right off your bill. We'll get you your Chick Ultra. But try it. Try a good beer. I've not had one person send it back, and I've had several guests over the years become fans of BBC and Steel Rail. So I would highly recommend you do it. And as a last bit of the story, on the way home from Lenox, Mass., in the beginning of this week, we stopped at South Deerfield, and I got to tell one of the original two owners, who's still there, Gary's his name, I got to tell Gary this whole story about how I first started. You should have seen this guy's eyes light up.
Oh, I bet he was thrilled.
What a great guy. What a great place. They're all hippies. They had Little Feet blaring in the background.
Nice.
Little Feet.
They had a beer room that looked like a dorm room with a seat out of a car and all kinds of taps, and we drank beers, and he showed me the place, and it was, instead of going to Budweiser where you're on a tour with a tour guide, I have the owner taking me around.
Yeah, it's like Dave walking you around from case to case.
Exactly. It was so cool. So I would highly recommend you try Berkshire beer. If you want to start with the Steel Rail. If you're a real educated beer drinker and you want to drink something that's big and crazy by them, try the Russian Imperial Stout or the Coffee House Porter. They're both awesome.
Love it, Tommy.
I will say
there you go.
I will say the beer we're drinking today pairs really well with this Julius
Caesar.
It
really
does.
I didn't intend that because I didn't know we were smoking this.
Right.
But just like the milk and the Oreos, this is peppery and spicy and big.
Some things are just meant to be together.
And the beer is kind of sweet and malty.
Yes.
They pair well.
100%.
Tommy, do you enjoy pairing craft beers with cigars? Is that something that you do in your leisure time?
Well, when I smoke a cigar, not every time do I have a beverage. But, And I wouldn't always pick the same thing to answer your question.
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel like a beer, sometimes I feel like a scotch, sometimes a bottle of wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I switch it up.
He doesn't say a glass of wine.
It's a bottle.
It's a bottle.
Yeah, it's a bottle. Absolutely. A bottle and a straw.
All right, let's take a peek into the asylum with our good friends at Asylum Cigars.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
It's time for news from the Insane Asylum. Odd and sometimes historic news stories that are too insane to be true, or are they? Brought to you by Asylum Cigars, take no prisoners. Asylum Cigars are truly flavorful, medium-bodied Nicaraguan cigars with sizes ranging from 4x44 to the absolutely insane 8x80. That's right, that's Asylum. You've heard the expression, that's a breath of fresh air, but have you ever considered what one might cost if you lived in a polluted environment like many of the provinces in mainland China? His name is Leo D. Watts, and his product is Aether. Glass jars of air that he sells for $115 a piece. Here's a quote. "It's real air out of the English countryside," Watts said in an interview. "Each jar holds 20 ounces of air, which is roughly half a breath. The air is caught in nets, which makes no sense whatsoever because nets have holes in them and all the air would escape. The jars are then shipped to Leo's biggest customers in Beijing and Shanghai."
This is true.
100% true.
Yep.
"Often he gets special requests for air from very specific circumstances like the top of a mountain, the bottom of a valley, Barry's underwear." That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does.
"This year, for a mere $1,200, you can buy a 15-jar sampler set, which is a savings of $35 per jar, making each breath of fresh air cost only $160. What a deal. This guy's a genius. His customers are insane. That's Asylum.
They're coming to take me away. You know, guys, I heard Mount Washington, at the top of Mount Washington, the air is pristine. I smell business opportunity.
Chuck, you always smell business opportunity.
Bottle it up, package it up, and we sell it.
P.T. Bonham said it best, the sucker's born every minute, or something like that.
Something like that.
I want to capture the air on the green line of the tee.
All right.
On a Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Nothing like the smell of compacted, sweaty bodies.
I guess so. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to have our classic three-way here. We're going to pit Gentleman Chuck Morrison
You've
against...
You've never had a three-way in your life. That's no,
not,
go ahead.
It's not entirely true.
What were the names?
Yeah. It was his friend Steve, Gus. Bob.
All right. So we're going to pit Gentleman Chuck Morrison versus Tommy Grella versus the great Barry Stein.
You've heard of epic rap battles.
Epic rap battle of the world!
But now it's time for the epic battle.
Wow, it's kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
For this day.
Tell anyone about this, I'll f***ing kill you. I'm kidding.
In classic history.
Is looking at you, kid.
Brought to you by Classic Cigars.
Nervous?
Yes.
All Classic Cigars are handmade and imported from the Dominican Republic, and every cigar is priced under, get this, under $3 per cigar.
You like that, baby? Let him know where that came from, yeah!
Choose any blend, including the Classic Connecticut for its mild and smooth taste, the Classic Maduro for its bold and spicy flavor, or the Classic Cuban for its sweet, sun-grown, and nutty overtones.
That's undertones, you idiot!
Whichever classic you choose, it's a classic cigar. Available at twoguyscigars.com. That's twoguyscigars.com. Celebrate today with a classic cigar.
All right. Today, Dave is away. It's March 5th. I've got three people for you guys. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. We're going to start off with Barry Stein because I believe he is still somehow the champion.
It somehow is called his Macintosh computer.
Well, he does have
it.
I put
show.
A piece of paper.
He hasn't covered up this week, so maybe you guys can
Where's his phone?
The champ.
It is face down with broccoli on top.
Okay.
All right, we've got Eva Mendez, movie actress, Cuban-American movie actress who gained mainstream recognition for Training Day and starred in Too Fast and Furious and Girl in Progress. She achieved alternative fame for her roles in the B-movies Children of the Corn 5, Fields of Terror, and Urban Legends Final Cut, and also The Other Guys. She starred with Will Smith in the film Hitch and Ghost Rider. What year was she born? Barry Stein.
1973.
Barry says 1973.
I wrote down the answer before the question was even asked. For the record, 1901.
Okay, 1901 for Chuck.
72.
72. Barry Stein is going to take this. Oh. He's got 1974. He said 73.
I said 73.
Correct. The answer is 74. 74. You said 73. So BS gets 1 point. TG... CM.
I want to know what my parents were thinking when they gave me the initials BS.
I think they got that right.
You can't give yourself the bell.
I can do anything I want. I have the bell. I'm sitting in the first chair.
Yeah, enjoy it because we're taking it away from you.
Joel Osteen, religious leader, televangelist pastor who is seen by millions on broadcast from Lakewood Church, a mega church in Houston, Texas. He has written several New York Times bestseller books, including Your Best Life Now, which remained on the list for more than 200 weeks. What year was he born? We're going to Chuck on this one.
All right, writing it down. I'm going to put 1950 as his birth year.
All right. Tommy?
47.
I have 70 written down.
Oh,
70, which means that Chuck gets the point because he was born in 1963.
Whoa.
So we have one, and we have you sitting in my spot, usually the loser, still the loser, and Barry Stein at one. So final question. 2 points to get the exact answer, Tommy Grell, and I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for you. I'm doing the opposite of what the person who usually sits in this chair does for who sits in that chair. I want you to win. Penn Jillette, talkative magician who became part of the clever illusionist duo Penn and Teller. He graduated from the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown College, where he was introduced to Teller, his future performance partner. He is famous for having a red fingernail on his left hand, which began when his mother pestered him to keep his hands looking nice. What year was he born, Tommy Grella?
1952.
57.
What do you say,
Chuck? Can I change my answer?
No, you got to put whatever you put.
48.
He says 48. 52.
I was going to change.
He's going to get a point. We have a three-way tie. And as the...
What was the answer?
The answer was 1955.
I was going to say 55.
And as the interim host of the show, I will award the person in the second chair the championship.
You got to go to tiebreaker.
Tommy Grella, you are the champion.
Hey.
I break the ties.
Epic fail. Three people, three questions.
You don't have a curve overtime question?
I win.
This is a reminder, if it is your birthday, come into any Two Guys Smoke Shop location, that's Salem, Seabrook, or Nashua, New Hampshire, on your birthday, and they will cut and light a free happy birthday cigar just for you.
Which is a great cigar, by the way.
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
It really
I don't know
is.
Who makes that, but it, listen, I had it this year, and I was like, wow, that's good.
There's been about 10 dudes, maybe more, maybe 15, that have got that cigar for free on their birthday and then come back, and it becomes their regular cigar that they get. They come in and get a few singles.
Do you guys sell it by the single?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's it retail for?
$9.99.
It's a great cigar.
Yeah.
I'd call it a $10 cigar all day.
Absolutely. All right. Do we have time for... Yeah, we got time for a couple mailbags. The following message was submitted through the Contact Us page of thecigarauthority.com. Color me impressed. Not only does he know his cigars, but Barry also said Brie Larson would win for Best Actress in the movie Room. Until the show yesterday, I had never heard of either.
For better record, I also got the movie of the year with Spotlight.
I saw Spotlight.
Fantastic.
I mean, absolutely brilliant movie. You guys, especially being from New England, should check it out. But it's just a...
I guess one of those stories hits home for me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
One of the offenders was part of the parish that I grew up in. That's true.
No kidding.
It's a great story, not only for its truth, but the perspective that the movie takes, which is kind of from a, not an icky, oh my God, this is a devastating thing, which it is, but from an investigative standpoint where they just tackle it head on from research, facts, bringing to light just the scale and severity of you know, how big of a problem it really was. Over 90 priests in New England alone. At the end of the movie, they kind of prelude to... just how massive a scale it is on a global level, not only throughout the entire U.S., but the entire world.
Well, Massachusetts at the time had that big, you know, no child left behind.
Yeah, thanks,
and then the Catholic Church did No Child's Behind Left Alone.
Jesus.
Just too far.
Wow.
That is just too far.
Jonathan might not get so many hate mails this week. It might be all Tommy.
Any of the hate mail, you can direct that directly to Tommy Grella on Facebook. Following message also submitted through the Contact Us page of thecigarauthority.com. And Davey writes, on February 20th episode, Smoking a Bowl with Swag and Sobey, Mr. Jonathan was talking about where pipes come from, and he said something about an angel. What is the name of that angel? Just email me the answer to that, please. Thank you. And we chose to read it on the air. I have no idea what you're talking about, Davey. I said something about one of the tobaccos that someone was smoking, that it smelled like an angel farted, but I did not refer to an angel as far as where pipes come from. That's the best I have for you. I'm sorry.
Didn't pipes begin? Do we know where pipes began?
They date back into the Egyptians.
Right. Okay.
But
because Bri is based out of like Scotland, isn't it? The type of wood?
It's a type of wood.
Yeah.
It is a type of wood. And the collector's pipes would have a completely symmetrical grain.
Right.
And that's what makes them collectors, but you can only get that with a master pipe maker. Mm. And then you could have the same exact pipe. One pipe could be $250. The other pipe is $40 because the grain's not symmetrical. Yep. They smoke exactly the same. All right. Also submitted through the Contact Us page, Mike Cotter writes, as I was listening to Dave's prognostication of the cigar industry future state, I had a thought about the cigar brands created after the ridiculous FDA regulation deadline dates. Cigar makers with brands that have been created after the FDA deadline can and will sell them in non-U.S. markets.
Mm.
U.S. buyers of Cuban cigars already have regulation skirting methods to make international purchases. The FDA regulations are creating a new forbidden fruit and will lead to U.S. consumers going through the similar purchasing process to acquire them. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it depends if those manufacturers actually stay in business, right? I mean,
well, if they're based in a third world country, staying in business won't be an issue if they can get enough buyers outside the U.S. But what will be interesting is during that first, let's call it maximum 2-year period where Americans are smoking Cuban cigars because it was the forbidden fruit, and as they discover that, you know what, there's better cigars out there, but that's what they end up buying. The market was going to tip anyways. So if the Cuba pays the estimated $28 million to get their front marks into the United States through the FDA legally, then those other cigar companies are going to suffer for those first 2 years. But the other countries aren't going to have cigars because the U.S. is going to consume them. So there could be a shift in cigars of the cigars that we're used to seeing in the U.S. that are fairly new end up going overseas. And we have Cuban cigars and the cigars that existed before 2007.
Right. The wild card would be the Cuban cigars coming into the U.S. market, because right now there isn't a big enough market in most European countries for newer blends to get any type of legs behind them.
Only because Cuban cigars are there. Right. If the Cuban cigars go away because we start consuming them, let's say
the first
year it's 20% of their production, which is what the estimates are. And then the second year could be more than that because you got more people getting into it. Mm. It's going to draw people into cigar smoking, which will be good for us. But now you've got a void elsewhere, and that void will be filled. People are going to smoke cigars. They're not going to fold their arms and say, if I can't have my regular Cuban, I'm not going to smoke. And once they get their hands on something like this Julius Caesar, I can't see them going back.
No.
When did Julius Caesar come out? Do we know? This is pre-2007?
It was created in, do I have the date? He was born in 75, and the cigar was his 135th birthday.
Okay.
So 2010, it looks like it was created.
Wow. That would be a shame if this had to go away. I mean.
You know what? It's not going away. It's just going to go under another label. You know, what? They're all buying old labels. That's what they're doing. Hmm. Right?
Well, I don't.
What?
Do the Newmans have the kind of money to be able to take an expensive cigar like this and go through the process would end up being the question, right?
Well, if the date remains 2007, they would have to go through the process.
Correct.
If we get that predicate date changed.
Right.
Then they're all set. To me, that's the wild card.
Yes.
What ends up happening with the date. All right. Let's bang out one more of these bad Larrys. With all due respect to anyone named Larry. All right, Chuck, not Gentleman Chuck, but regular Chuck, writes through the Contact Us page. First, guys, let me thank you for reading my email on the air about the care package, and hopefully someone will drop out, and I might be able to be put in their spot, or perhaps you'll open up to more members by the end of the year, fingers crossed. I just placed a decent-sized order with Two Guys Smoke Shop and can't wait for its arrival. Now on to my question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I've been searching the archives and noticed no reviews for the CAO company. Just curious if I missed a show or two, and why not reviews of their cigars. I myself am fond of the Brazilian and the American, and I'm waiting to try a few others as well. As always, long ashes and fine spirits. Yours truly, Chucky.
Can I answer that?
Please. Go ahead.
So when the original CAO Brasilia and American came out, it was far different than the cigar that's produced today.
I was just going to say that.
Oh.
Those cigars, to me, were excellent cigars. If I smoke a CAO Brasilia now or an American now, it's a shell of what it used to be.
Yeah.
In your opinion.
And it would probably only get an 82.
Wait a minute, but I do agree with him on this. CAOs changed so much over the years. They had two or three major manufacturing changes over the years, right? And there's a lack of consistency for a cigar smoker.
Well, lack of consistency for someone that smoked it back then, and then after change one and change two.
But for me, I don't trust it. They've lost credibility with me to some degree. They may be great. I don't know. I haven't smoked them in a while because, you know, I gave up because I was smoking CAO Cameroon way back, and it changed.
Back when Perdomo made it.
Back when Perdomo made it. It was excellent. Mm. They changed factories. It wasn't the same. I didn't go back.
Just to be clear, the views of Tommy Grella do not express the views of the Cigar Authority in any way, shape, or form.
We are not biased. That's one of the great things about this show.
All right.
What do you guys got for your final thoughts, Mr. Jonathan, on the Julius Caesar?
Listen, Julius Caesar is in my regular rotation. I like it a lot. I'm a big fan of their pyramid. I also like their 1895 Perfecto. I'm on record as saying such. It's an outstanding cigar.
Some cinnamon developed.
Cinnamon?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely got richer. It started out more peppery, and now it's gotten richer and bigger
more
in flavor.
More mashed potato-y, would you say? The smoke has gotten thicker?
Textured? I would say more like a thick, dark gravy.
There you go.
Fair enough. Well, next week, Dave is back from a long trip. First Cuba, then the TAA. And I would bet the farm that he is suffering from a relapse from his head cold. Big thanks to Tommy Grella for filling in for me as I filled in for Dave. And a big thanks to our own Barry Stein for stepping up as well, because I couldn't have done it without him and without gentleman Chuck Morrison. Next week is Dave's Return, Volume 2. You have been listening to The Cigar Authority on the United Cigar Radio Network.
If you learned nothing more in the past 2 hours, you could always go to thecigarauthority.com, where Mr. Jonathan's article is posted, as well as my article I'm posting. But just remember to keep the lit end out of your mouth. We'll see you again next week.
Can I have your attention for a second? I want to tell you about a fellow named Dave and the fact that I have been buying my cigars from him since 1985 when they first opened up. Two Guys Smoke Shop. Now, Two Guys Smoke Shop have three convenient locations right over the Massachusetts border in tax-free New Hampshire. Now, here's something I bet you didn't know. Two Guys Smoke Shop is America's largest cigar shop and has the largest inventory of cigars anywhere. Wait till you see this place. You're not going to believe it, all right? Now, if you like cigars, you can't find a better place to buy them than at Two Guys Smoke Shop. They're in Salem, New Hampshire, Seabrook, New Hampshire, and their new location in tax-free Nashua, New Hampshire. It is worth the ride. You can call 888-2-CIGAR-2. That's 888-2-CIGAR-2 or on the web at twoguyssmokeshop.com. The best place to buy cigars anywhere is Two Guys Smoke Shop. It's Stogie Heaven.
With a million choices, it's Stogie.